Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
So how are you, Denise Zimba?
How's it?
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Last time you were here was a while ago.
Last year sometime.
It's been too long, and you were on the Gentleman's Roundtable. Legend,
yes,
was here, Mungie was here.
Yes.
And we ended that segment with you pointing out on Legend's penis size.
I don't remember. It was such a long time ago.
And you had the dogs as well.
Oh, yes. I had my babies.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they're back at grandma's.
Okay.
Because I just moved out of my apartment because I'm starting to, like, travel and stuff.
Yeah.
So things are in storage. Babies are back at grandma's, at Nana's.
I have to tell you, I was looking at your Instagram comments,
yes,
before the interview. And a lot of the time when it's like a big person like you, I like to look at the different Instagram comments that people receive.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at yours, and the level of engagement is actually a truckload higher than a lot of other people on the South African entertainment scene. And it got me thinking, So what is it about Denise Zimba? And I was looking at some other comments that people leave on your stuff on social media.
Yeah.
There is something about you that just resonates with people in a very real and authentic way. And I wonder if, I mean, were you a kid that just attracted loads of friends on the playground? I don't know.
I was that kid. I was a pretty ugly, horrific looking ugly duckling growing up. So I think in that time growing up, I was able to, like, develop my personality and my sense of humor and my outlook on life because, you know, I wasn't the most attractive girl in the world. But I realized the connection that you create and that you have with people when you are at your authentic self in everything that you do.
Mm.
And that's literally what entertainment is about. I think a lot of people have a misconception of how people perceive celebrities and popular people and see them on these high platforms. And for me, learning musical theater and going through that process and how I was brought up and how I engaged with kids growing up, I realized that, you know, everything that we do has a sense of a higher being above it. There's so much more to what you are actually doing right now. And that's what drew me more closer and more excited about being in the entertainment industry, because it's the most influential platform you can actually ever be a part of and connect with people in a way that you don't even have to know their names to understand each other's spirits and souls. And that's why in everything that I do, as crazy as it may seem or out of this world or whatever, I mean, there's a sense of connection that happens from my end of the stick to the people's end of the stick. And what happens there feeds so much into so much more that I want to do. And that's really what being part, well, my purpose personally is.
You know what's so interesting about you? And I remember in those sort of early days, my first exposure to you was on Fly Chicks on Zuzu. And I kind of watched the show and I thought, this is this crazy individual and everything. But the irony in you is that as turned up as you are and as much as you can put on a show, you're possibly one of the most emotive people out there. And it seems like it's a lot of high highs, but a lot of low lows as well.
Exactly. I'm a very emotional person. I feel like I'm a true artist. I live and breathe my emotions, and everything that I do is from that underlining subtext of my emotions. And that's how I'm able to connect with someone, because end of the day, you know, we all have our different situations and things that we're going through, but the emotions are still the same. Angry, sad, happy, frustrated, fearless, fearful, you know. And that's what comes across in everything that I do. And I never shy away from my truth, because I'll be damned if I die living a lie.
You don't get tired of feeling sometimes, though, of constantly feeling and thinking and either being very happy or sad or being this or being that, because I think a lot of people, they kind of just, they just go into a place where they just be, and it's easier for them to just be than to confront all of that.
Exactly. And it's not actually in terms of being afraid of confronting. It's easier to be than to not confront all of that. Just be, because then you can let your emotions out. You can be how you want to be at that time. And I mean, sometimes it is hard for a personality like myself, because, you know, the picture that is Denise, it's crazy, it's loud, and sometimes I have days where I'm just like, I'm at the bottom of the pits and I just want to lock myself in a room and just disappear from the world. But there's a responsibility that comes with understanding the universe and how you, for me, how I see the world. There's a responsibility in understanding how life works.
Yeah.
And once you've gained that connection, you can't disengage. And so when I want to cry in a little ball and lock myself away from the world, because of the understanding of what I'm doing and the connection I've created, I cannot disrespect the work. It has to be put out.
Is everything that you're describing part of the definition of being an artist? I saw you post about Prince and Prince's passing.
Yes.
So this being an artist thing.
Why are you?
What's the deal here? It's extremities.
Being an artist is being your most heightened self. And doing it in front of the public is one of the most extraordinary things, but can be extremely detrimental, as you can see with a lot of artists that have died from drugs, addictions.
Overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. And, you know, when you understand responsibility of that, it can get overwhelming, but you will then have, you'll be able to pull yourself away from the situation to collect yourself to go back into that responsibility. So people like Prince, I mean, he was like a musical genius. I mean, he played over 10 instruments. He's a beautiful songwriter, very hilarious from what I've read in terms of, and the documentaries I've seen about him, the work that he's done. And look at him. He was flamboyant and sensual and sexual and passionate and, you know, kind of did his own thing at his own time when he wanted to do it. And that's knowing when to draw back, to collect yourself, to go back into the responsibility again. And it's true, artists, true for me, true artists are people who are open books and understand the level of connection and responsibility in the industry, being an artist, what it means for people who aren't artists and that connection, and taking it to the highest, highest extremity and enjoying it at the same time. It's a hell of a lot of a cocktail combination.
What is the most interesting thing about you?
That I am very, very sensitive. And I think I'm too kind for my own good. I really am. It's my downfall. I'm trying to run a business, but I realize that I can't run my own business on my own because I will give and give and I'll go bankrupt. But I think, I'm just a very sensitive, gentle soul. And I'm not as crazy as you people think I am, even though I perceive myself that way. But people need to know that there's entertainment and the person who's entertaining. And then away from all that entertainment, there's actually a real person with emotions and feelings and hardships and happy times and family and, you know, background drama and family drama and relationship drama. There's actually a normal person just like everybody else. So I love to cook and clean. It's like my meditation. Like, come to my house, I'll cook you. If there was ever a 12-course meal, I'll cook it.
Yeah, indeed.
I will do it.
As we sit here right now on the 22nd of April 2016, are you disillusioned by the industry that you held in such high regard as a young woman growing up?
Yeah, I'm pretty disappointed, and I'll always be. I can still swear here.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Oh, great. I forgot. But yeah, I'm like fucking disappointed in this industry and how it runs and the people that run it and how they perceive themselves. I feel like the people running it are hungry to be more of the talents than actually the talents out there. I mean, and there's no credit where credit is due. There's no honesty in the business. I mean, it's funny. South Africa is a typical country. When Rihanna comes, it's like, oh my God, everything needs to stop. But you get an artist who has that same kind of feel and texture and vibe, and it's like, oh, now you're trying to be Rihanna, or you're now trying to be Beyonce, where you should be embracing new, different. I mean, right now, it took me how long till South Africa actually embraced me?
Yeah.
And that's because the inside people of the entertainment industry weren't trying to put me on. But luckily in my journey, I've had specific people that, you know, saw something in me and put me on those platforms. And it's funny, when you go out there, people, like, I have fans that I'm always so shocked. I think that's why I always come across humbled, because I'm like, What?
I didn't know anyone
you
was
guys,
watching.
I didn't know anyone really cared. I was just kind of like winging it because from where I'm sitting at, inside at all, like, I'm like not even considered. No corporate or endorsement deal will ever come my way. No one will ever put me on anything because I don't know if it's a misunderstanding or, you know, I don't know what it is, but I'm just... I'm not that girl. Like, so I always get shocked when I go out and people are like, oh my God, we love you. You're so funny. We, you know, and I get the most amazing messages from fans. Usually it's always, you're so great. You're so pretty. I love you. But my fans are like, you make me laugh. There was just one day I thought I was just going to like not get out of bed and I heard your voice on TV and you cracked some funny joke and you did some stupid dance and lifted me. Oh my God, you're amazing. And my daughter who's 3 years old loves you and my mother who's 70 loves, you know what I mean? Mm. I get those kind of affirmations and I'm just like, whoa, well, what industry am I in? And I feel like I'm in the wrong industry in this country. I feel very, not misunderstood. I don't want to play victim. Mm. I just feel like it's unfortunate you're losing out on something so great because who has done what I've done in their careers in terms of being on the number one TV show in the entire country and being on the most
generations
and be on the most popular show, youth show in the country simultaneously without being fired, without controversy or anything like that. Who have you heard? You know what I mean? I'm the only one who's in that accolades, reality show on top of that, music on top of that. Like if I'm studied for it, like there's so much credential that I'm not even shying away from because that's the reality. But as soon as I step out of there with the industry people, I mean, I look at some of these people and I'm like, how did she even get casted? Mm. And I understand our industry run by corporate, so numbers speak for themselves. But even with that, I kind of have some numbers that could speak for itself. You know what I mean?
How many people have asked you why you left Generations? And how many people have asked you why you left Viant?
Everybody.
And what is the answer to those two questions? I was looking up the Generation stuff a little earlier, but it's not particularly clear online.
With Generations, it was a very mutual understanding. I always feel like, and that also goes for V Entertainment, that when you start something, it needs to take you somewhere. And if there's no growth in that, you yourself need to take yourself out of that situation to align yourself with other opportunities. It might not be what you want at the time, but at least it's something that ventures you out into a sense of growth in some way or another. And I'm the type of person that I'm so creative. There's so many things that go on in my mind 24/7, nonstop, that I cannot be in the same place doing the same thing without a different outcome or, you know, connection in some way to the audience, with myself, in my, with my career. And for me, that's why I felt Generation served its purpose. I wanted the followings. I wanted to be on a platform where I can act. Mm-hmm. I was grateful that they caught me on such a big platform, which did so much for me. But at the same time, it was the same thing every day. Wake up, go act, be funny, go home. Sometimes, you know, there was no gap to grow the brand within the Generations brand. You know what I mean? And I felt like dead end. I can't wake up with the same routine 24/7 and at the same time not even being able to reach or connect with my audience on another level. Mm. And that's the same thing with V Entertainment. And I mean, it's sad with Vuzu because I didn't want to leave. I mean, that's probably the one platform that allowed me to be anything and everything that I wanted to be at any given time. As long as it was in TV content, you know? And for me, with Vuzu, it was just like, you know, I'm a singer, I'm a dancer, I'm an actor. You know, Mnet, you have acting platforms. You have MC platforms. You have movie platforms. You have all these platforms that you're not utilizing your talent that is in-house already. And you use talent from other networks to enhance your network, yet your talent is sitting right there and they're giving you the best ratings you've ever had. And I damn well sure know, and I'm not afraid to say, I was bringing in ratings for that company. But when they oversee you at some point, you need to acknowledge your worth, be honest with yourself, as disappointing as it might have been for my fans, which I wish I didn't do. That was the only difficult part, to part from them.
Sudden, yeah.
It was just sudden. But at some point, I felt like if you're not going to utilize me or see my worth, at some point, I'm going to do what I need to do for myself, because you, for me personally, I didn't feel like they had my best interests at heart. For someone who was ranking in the ratings, no recognition, no nothing. I think Looking for the Lewis was one of the best TV shows that a South African industry has ever seen. Tell me anyone who's done that. Anyone. Tell me any black girl who's done that. Tell me any white, Jew, colored, Indian girl, entertainer, actor who's done that. Actor, actress. Tell me. And what's funny about it is that I remember I went down to Cape Town, but I did a road trip with my best friends, and we stopped at George, this old, funky-ass town. It's like, guys, I don't know what time. It's not, the sun is setting. I don't want to, like, you know, Chainsaw Massacre situation. And I went into the engine there, and this womb came to me. Now, I'm thinking, okay, everyone else, like, you know, the people who are working there, the employees are looking at me like, oh, it's Mary from Generation. So I'm like, okay, cool. And I hear this womb. He was like 76 years old. And he's like, Denise Zumba! Denise! So I'm like, okay, he's probably going to ask me to take a photo with the employees. Because, so I'm like, hello, womb, khandat, khut, donkey, khut, khut. He's like, yari, yai. Looking for the Lurie's girl. I was like, what say I? What? Okay, wait a minute. Okay, wait. What say I? Okay, and I was like, OMG. Like, that's oh my God. Like, I've
cracked it.
And how has nothing been said or shown about it? You know what I mean? Then I get to Cape Town. And I had ships, I've like flown some stuff down with a couple of other friends. So went to the airport, we met them there. And this 3-year-old was hysterical in the airport, crying, all of this nonsense. And literally I walked past and she just like, with her eyeline, just followed me through. And she kept saying, Nisa, Nisa. And the mom's like, oh my God, my daughter loves you, please stop. So I'm like, what, the 3-year-old is... Who's Nisa? Oh, Nisa. I'm like, me? Oh. So in that probably space of 10 hours, I had a womb, about 76 years old, who was like frantic, fanatic, to a 3-year-old who couldn't even pronounce my name. And in 10 hours, being recognized from two different age groups, two different target markets. I mean, demographics, everything completely two different. And I was just like, wow. Wow.
So when you put this in the context of your narrative and you have to make sense of what feels to you insensible and you can't get it and you don't understand, and I mean, how do you begin to justify it? How do you say, cool, I'm going to rise above and beyond that? What's the conversation that goes on?
The conversation is, I know my worth. I know my talent. I know my connection with people and how I'm able to touch people. And I love what I do. I love to sing. I love to dance. I love to create. I love to direct. I love to choreograph. I like to write script. I love all of that. It is in me. That is who I am. And I can never change that. And I don't ever want to change that. And I love that about me. And because of that, I cannot allow certain people to communicate for me personally something that I don't need in my life to carry me through in my life. So when I feel like, I feel like how people perceive me, those certain people, it's okay because they don't define who I am and where I want to go and the things that I want to experience. And they'll never be able to have the power to change that. Only I have the power to be exactly what I want to be, where I want to be and how I want to be. So I cannot take fault at them. I can recognize that, okay, this is the situation. But it's up to me to take that into perspective and see how I pull away from that and keep achieving my goals and enjoying my life the best way I know how.
Where do you think it goes, or where do you want it to go? Because, and is there not a part of you that's scared, you know, so much of it is about the journey.
Yeah.
And then there's the outcome.
For me, what I've realized is that I left Fly Chicks, I left Generations, I left Wuzu. All these platforms that were like, is she crazy? Are you kidding me? What? I mean, you can't get better than this. So for me, by the time I had parted with Generations, I had made a conscious decision that, Denise, you will never live in fear. You can be scared. There's a difference. Living in fear and being scared. I'm okay with being scared because it's a short-term feeling. Living in fear literally takes over your life. And so for me, I'm always conscious that fear is not something you live by, but you can be scared. But when you are scared, that's probably the perfect time to actually change. Flip the coin. Move forward. Because I don't... Once I feel unsure or uncomfortable, or it's time for a change. For me, personally, it's time for a change. And sometimes it's a good uncomfortableness because, I mean, you get into a new job and then, you know, you're nervous about this and that, about that. Fine, being nervous is a good thing because it means that you really, really want this job and you want to keep it. You want to be the best that you can be. But once I'm just like scared to leap, that's when I actually leap.
It's powerful stuff. You're spitting a lot of truths here. we're already a minute and a half over. But it's good. And it's...
And can I just say, you're probably one of the only people who always interviews me and realizes my state of mind. No one actually does. No one actually does. And recognize the things that I've actually done. So I really appreciate that.
Well, I think it's because
that
you,
never happens,
you,
ever.
You walk in and you don't have any walls, which is very rare in someone. It's really more about the interviewee than the interviewer. But but you don't have any walls. I've got one final question, and I've been thinking the whole time now, like, how do you wrap this up? Because I think that this is just part of an unbelievable story arc. In the character and in the life and times of you. I think it's going to be interesting to listen back to this in 5 years. It's going to be interesting to listen back to this in 10, 15 years. But I do wonder what we would have thought of this interview listening back to it 15 years ago, a young Denise Zimba.
Yeah.
With the hopes and dreams that she had, with the way that she probably watched a show like Generations.
Yeah.
And the way she felt at 8 o'clock on television. What do you think young you would think listening back to this podcast after we get into my very cool time machine and go back?
Young me would be like, geez, could I have just relaxed and actually took more risks? And don't overemphasize every little thing. And don't look at these, well, this industry and think it's the be-all and end-all of everything. And know that you're different. But that's what makes it so amazing. Your authenticity is what's going to get you through. That's what I think my young self would say if she saw me, like, in all of this.
In all of this.
Yeah.
Authenticity is what will get you through. That is a very powerful line.
It's hard, though. It's like hard. It's like,
dude, that's why you're like the one hard. That's on the television versus it's the hard. One that's, you know, sitting and watching. I don't know. it's been so powerful. Thank you so much. I'm excited to
Thank
see
you.
What's next. It's Denise Zimba.
Thank you so much. Tune in. Yeah, Lunatic, my new single. Do something. I'm about to leave for Europe, but... try and make me not go anytime soon.
Okay.
Ciao, bye. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.